Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said nervousness is when you feel in a hurry all over and can't get started. We're happy to have this privilege of coming your way with Bible Meditations. We're hopeful that our study together will prove of profit to all who are involved. We were studying yesterday from the book of Mark, chapter 10, and an account of a young man coming to the Master. We were going to use this as a basis for our study concerning stopping short of salvation. It's such a sad thing to think that a person would start on his way to salvation, but would stop short of obtaining the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. If it is so that someone is stopping short, perhaps we could remove whatever obstacle it is that is keeping them from going all the way in regard to obtaining salvation. So we look at Mark 10 at a young man who comes to the Master. But notice the account does not just tell us he came to the Master, but rather tells us he came running to the Master. This indicates the very sincere attitude that he had in regard to salvation. He wanted to know what to do to be saved, and he was coming to the right person. He was coming to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and therefore he came running to Jesus, and the Bible says he kneeled before him. This indicates the fact that he recognizes the divinity of God and of Christ. He recognizes how small he stands before God and how great God is. Sometimes we get the idea that man is so important that God owes him something. But friends, that's not the case. We are the creation of God, and we owe God. He doesn't owe us anything. But the question then was given by this young man, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Well, first of all, the term good master, Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God." In other words, he was pointing this young man to the one who is the Father of all. And so he says, look to God. He's the one who is good. But also notice the question that is asked, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" You know, there's a doctrine that John Calvin made very popular and that is still being taught in our world today among many religious teachers. And that doctrine is that there is nothing that a person can do in regard to salvation. You can't obtain salvation involving anything that you have to do. Everything is on the part of God. I hear more and more people from time to time picking up with this false doctrine and teaching men and women there is nothing that you can do. Periodically, articles appear in our East Liverpool paper, written by some of the preachers of our town, encouraging people that there isn't anything at all they can do in regard to salvation. That the question, "What must I do?" is really out of order because, according to the thinking of these Calvinistic preachers, they have the idea that if I do anything, that nullifies my salvation being of grace. Well, let me make this observation. I believe that we're saved by the grace of God. I look at Ephesians 2 and verse 5, "For by grace are you saved." And that's a plain statement that I don't know how anyone could misunderstand. The word grace simply means undeserved, unmerited favor. And so we're saved by the grace of God. That is, by the favor God shows to mankind that is undeserved and that we do not earn. Well, keep this in mind. Regardless of what I would do, I would never earn salvation. there isn't any work or combination of works that I might do that would cause God to feel obligated to me to give me salvation. I couldn't do so many things and say, all right, Lord, you owe it to me to save me. I can't do that. But I'd like to remind you, the 17th chapter of the book of Luke and verse 10, when it is explained concerning a servant keeping the instruction of his master, and it is stated, after we have done all, we still must say, I am an unprofitable servant. In other words, regardless of what I do, I don't earn salvation. But does that mean there's nothing for me to do? This is the conclusion some have reached. They have the idea that there's nothing that I can do in regard to salvation, when the Bible doesn't teach such an idea. Look at the frequency of the statement, what must I do, in your Bible? Do you remember the second chapter of the book of Acts, when the Apostle Peter had convinced the people who were assembled there that they had crucified the Son of God? They were guilty. They with wicked hands had crucified and slain the Son of Glory. And you remember their question was, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now I know this much, Peter was not a Calvinist, because Peter didn't begin explaining, there isn't anything you can do. Jesus did it all, and there is nothing that you're required to do in regard to salvation. No, that wasn't his explanation. Do you know when they asked the question, what must I do? Peter didn't rebuke them. He simply answered their question. He told them what they had to do in order to be saved. God had done his part, but there was something they had to do. They were told, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There was nothing out of line with the answer to that question. The question was, is there something I must do? And evidently they felt there was, for they said, what must we do? Well, Peter told them exactly what they had to do. Well, if they repented and were baptized, could they turn around and say, well, I'm saved by my own doing? No, I think not. Very obviously, they still were being saved by the grace of God. But to be saved by God's grace doesn't eliminate obedience. Peter recognized that. He was an inspired man of God. And he told people by inspiration that there was something man had to do in order to have salvation. He wasn't telling them, now, if you repent and you are baptized, then God will owe salvation to you, and you've earned it, and therefore you'll be saved by your doing. No, obviously, that's not the reason that he said, repent and be baptized. He was simply telling them, in order to be saved by the grace of God, you have to receive that grace. There's something you have to do. And so they did what they were told to do. The record says the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. So they were being obedient to the commands and the instructions given by the Apostle Peter. And this is certainly consistent with what the Bible teaches about salvation by grace. When some preacher tells you there isn't anything you can do as far as salvation is concerned, remind him that was not the answer that was given by the Apostle Peter. Peter said what they needed to do, and they did what they were commanded to do. We'll talk about this some more tomorrow. We appreciate your listening and remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.